Dubai Eye
103.8. This is the agenda. Time now for us to paper review on a Sunday, and it is an absolute pleasure to welcome into the studio, dear friend of the station, the show, in fact, just of the UAE in general, founder and owner of Balqis Honey, aka, the honey monster, the honey man, call him what you will, Riyad Hamad is with us here. Riyad, thanks so much indeed for being with us.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. It's amazing being here, and good to see you, Tom.
Well, it's lovely to see you as well. Thanks for taking time to come and join us in studio. We're going to talk about a couple of the stories that have caught your eye in just a while. I want to talk honey, though, if that's all right. Are you okay with talking honey?
Absolutely. I could talk honey all day long with you, Tom, honest to God.
Do you know why? Because we mentioned that you were coming in a little earlier on, at the beginning of the show, and ordinarily, you know, we set up the show and we say what we're going to talk about and no one really cares and we don't get any feedback and things like that. I mentioned that the honey monster's coming in and I get absolutely bombarded with questions. What's happening?
Oh, you're making me blush now, Tom.
What's happening?
For goodness. What's happening?
Have you told everyone you're on today or something?
He says all the right things, doesn't he, Tom? Bless him.
I've got a couple of questions for you. Zane from Dubai asks, he says, great, the Riyad's on. He says, demand of honey in Dubai in comparisons to high name brands in supermarkets, ?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is I'm all about raw honey. We're all talking about raw, unadulterated, unprocessed raw honey. That's what we do as Balqis. And it's what we do in the spread of the raw honey brand, which is in all the Carrefours. It's about kind of getting to people the most amazing raw honey. Now, if you're going to get some raw honey on the shelf that specifically says raw and it's unprocessed, unadulterated, then all good. But a lot of the stuff, maybe 90%, 95% of what's on the shelves, it ain't raw. That's the truth, Tom. And it's kind of highly processed, super filtered. And so you're going to get kind of almost like a syrup, which is not really what you want. If you've got like a cold, or if you've got allergies, or if you want to build your immune system, you want to be taking in some of those kind of enzymatic properties that are going to shake you in the morning, give you that little swirl of life, you know, kind of so you can rock on with your day, that kind of thing. That's what you want. Not some kind of little sugary sort of tasting syrup that you're going to get from a very highly processed product.
Right. Let's try and delve into this a bit more. I said I wanted to talk honey. I want to talk bees as well, because I suppose the two go hand in hand, really, don't they?
Absolutely.
Can't
absolutely.
Really have one without the other, can you?
You can't. I mean, as you know, Tom, kind of honey, raw honey, is a beautiful byproduct of these beautiful little insects, these bees. Their kingdom is just an unbelievable kingdom.
So talking of that kingdom, and there is something of a sort of global movement at the moment to protect our bees.
Absolutely.
Because as the popularity of honey grows, it demand, and dare I say it, it's becoming cooler, it's becoming trendy, it's being picked up by dietitians, it's being picked up by those around the world who are promoting its benefits, its well-known and historically proven benefits.
Absolutely.
Is there a risk, though, that sort of supply and demand can have a negative impact on the bee communities?
There is, because what's happening is that you get the commercial kind of beekeepers who are supplying tons and tons of it, and they don't care about how they harvest it.
Yeah.
So what you will get is the unscrupulous beekeepers that are purely just feeding the commercial kind of conglomerates, and they don't care. Even when they're kind of taking out the honeycombs that there's loads of bees on it, they plonk them on these machines where they're killing the bees while they're still on the honeycomb, while it's being processed and super filtered. So, you know, you've got to be really careful where you get it from. It's like anything. And honey, because it's such in demand, like you said, which is a very true statistic, you get a lot of people adulterating the honey. It's one of the most adulterated products in the world.
Really?
Absolutely. It's and the second one is olive oil. So the thing about it is that as a product itself, you need to understand the sort of provenance. You need to know where it is, where you're getting it from, and the transparency and how you kind of get this amazing superfood. You know what I mean?
So from a beekeeping point of view, and you know, we've had news reviewers in who've taken to keeping bees here. We're seeing more and more beekeepers here in the UAE, as we are seeing rises in that the world over. Does keeping honeybees, does becoming a beekeeper, is that helping to save bees?
It does because it's helping to propagate, and it's also kind of spreading, you know, the kind of the population and the colonies. The more that people are planting trees and flowers and buds, the more that there's going to be bees, and the more that, you know, fertilization is happening and pollination is going on, which we need for all the crops and agriculture. So the more that you're going to get all of this, the more that you're going to get in terms of bountiful of agriculture, and the population does increase. But you've just got to be careful that while the population increases of bees, that you're not kind of killing them with all the pesticides.
See, this is what
that people are using for the crops. So in certain areas, so it's just one of these kind of it's a balance. There is a kind of big movement to push kind of organic, which is absolutely true, because there's a consciousness about how you operate, how you kind of behave in that kind of environment, and how you want to protect the ecosystem. You know what I mean?
Well, I was sort of going on that, and that's why I wanted to ask you, because you are Mr. Raw. You are raw, raw to the bone, raw to the flesh. The honey monster's here in the studio, but you're also wild as well. Yeah,
and that's rough it. And wild, yeah.
Raw, wild, rough. You know, you've got it all going on. But if you get in these honeybees, and there's this explosion of the honeybee population, and more and more people taking to it and thinking they're doing their bit.
Yeah.
And yet there is, you know, there's only so much nectar and pollen out there, isn't there? And therefore, isn't that going to have an adverse impact on the wild bee population, which we need to try and increase?
No, the thing about it is that there is not enough bees. What you're seeing is that there's so much collapse of the colonies. There's so much destruction right now of the ecosystems of the bees that we need more, because the more that the colonies and the population of bees decline, the less kind of agriculture that you're going to get and the problems that you're going to get in agriculture. And the problem is that with this kind of crazy movement of trying to control pesticides, you're seeing that there's a direct correlation between sort of bee survival and pesticides. So you've got to control these pesticides. Not only are they killing the bees, which is damaging, then it's damaging agriculture, but it's also kind of like those chemicals are going inside us. When we're kind of eating whatever, some really cheap veggies or fruits, you've got to question, it's cheap for a reason. You know, it's cheap because they can process it in such huge amounts that they're using all kinds of chemicals in order, you know, to keep churning out these levels of tonnage of fruits and veggies. So you've got to be conscious. You've got to think about the wider scale, not just about, oh, I'm going to get some veggies in my system. You've got to have this understanding of, where's it coming from? Is it the right season? And if it's not, is it kind of like, you know, is the whole thing developed in a really kind of health conscious ecosystem way? I think these are the kind of things that we should be asking ourselves.
We're in conversation with our friend Riad Hammett is here in studio, founder and owner of Bucky's Honey, aka The Honeyman, is here taking your questions, giving us his thoughts, and of course giving his opinions. And he's a man of opinion, not just on all things bees, all things honey, but of other subjects, including sleep. Are you a good sleeper?
I'm terrible sleeper, Tom.
Are you?
Yeah, terrible, honestly.
Always have been, or?
No, you know what? I think it's since I came to Dubai 14 years ago.
Yeah.
It's just kind of really been kind of, you know, you'll do like about 2 or 3 hours and wake up, and all of a sudden you try and kind of sleep again. And so it's kind of constantly kind of chopping and changing, you know, and it does your head in, because sometimes you feel constantly tired. But when I went to England, it was even worse.
Really?
I'm literally about an hour or 2 hours a night when I kind of went over there for about 4 months.
But is that because you're the kingpin on a global honey empire at the moment? Therefore, you got...
you know what? My kids say to me that it's because you're kind of really active in Dubai, and all of a sudden you've come to Sheffield and you've just gone a bit brain dead. And because you've gone a bit brain dead, all that energy is just basically doesn't know what to do. So it's just constantly kind of like going into the ether, and I'm like wobbling around all over the place thinking, what am I going to do with myself and my time and whatever? And then I just kind of like, so I just stare constantly at the ceiling and I don't know what to do about it. Tom, can help me?
I don't know if I can help, but maybe people out there can help. If you can help Riad, then do get involved in the conversation. Do you think it's got anything to do with where's mine gone? Where's my phone? Oh, it's right in front of me. These things, screen time?
To be honest with you, I kind of make a rule that, you know, when I'm in bed, I kind of avoid it. I don't kind of play around on the screen, simply because I'm thinking it may affect my sleep. But saying that, Tom, I read this kind of like article from the BBC saying that, you know what, the screen time doesn't really make any difference whatsoever. So, you know, they did a study where there's like 50,000 teenagers in all states of America that they wanted to analyze how it affects their sleep patterns. And it really doesn't affect their sleep patterns that much. There was only literally kind of like about 30 minutes the difference between the people that are spending loads of time on their screens and people that don't. So it's kind of, and we were kind of, you know, kind of engineered to think from what we read that it's going to really affect you. You know, screen time is going to mess up with your sleep and whatever. But they're saying that according to this research in the BBC, it doesn't really affect you. You know,
I don't know who to believe now, because I've read that research as well, that apparently they've got some weird ions, and because of the lights that come out of your screens, that's going to keep you awake for all hours. And then I read something over the weekend that it's no different to reading a chapter in a book in bed at night as well. But I thought that was good for you. That was meant to put you to sleep. Or maybe that's just the books that I'm reading at the moment. I'm not sure.
I just think it's teenagers. I don't think that there's much that's going to stop a teenager from sleeping.
You know what is so true? I mean, I've got teenagers. Well, actually, they've gone past the teenagers now, the two. One of them's 21 and the other one's 20. And they stay up. They read. They stay up. They, you know, they're on their devices as kids usually are. But obviously, they still kind of get their 7 or 8 hours sleeping.
Exactly. They just have a different body clock. But they'll still, once they're asleep, trying to wake a sleeping teenager is a very difficult
thing. Oh, my God.
Thing.
I try and get him up to pray. I worry about him sometimes. Like, is he alive? I actually put my ears right next to his gob just to see if there's any movement, if there's any breathing. And then I realize there is, because you know what I mean?
But listen, these questions that were asked is how much time they spent on computers, mobile phones, handheld video games and other electronic devices, and how much time they spent watching TV. So that would be on YouTube. So teenagers who had not been in front of a screen for any part of the day, well, I'd like to find that teenager, because so I don't believe them, slept for 8 hours and 51 minutes. But listen to this, those who had spent 8 hours of their day glued to a screen slept for 8 hours and 21 minutes. 8 hours on a screen?
Yeah, that's what exactly.
Says you, staring at your screen, which
working.
You will be for the next 3 hours. You've been doing it for 2 hours out the back there.
Gainful employment.
See? We've got the company in the presence of a dear friend of the show. Riyad is back here in the UAE. He's the man. Well, he's the honey man. We had the truffle man in last week, and he's got the honey man here today as well. A lot of people texting in about that. A lot of people texting in about the elixir, how they get a good night's sleep as well. Some people are suggesting honey as well. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because we had an announcement. We did it here on the show a couple of weeks ago. Over in the UK, the General Union of Doctors in the UK, National Health Trust, basically turned around and said, could people just stop coming to us with their colds and their flus? He said, the best thing you can do is have a glass of hot water and honey.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, warm water, because if it's really hot, it will kill the sort of enzymes that
are
in the honey. Yeah, so it's got to be warm. It's got to be a level where it's not kind of going into really hot boiling, because it will kill then the benefits of honey. But it's true. I mean, people go these days, they want antibiotics for a little bit of a sore throat. And I mean, when it's coming on, I can feel it's coming on, this kind of cold or whatever. Then I just kind of take some more honey. I take some propolis, which is amazing. Propolis is this antibacterial. It's almost like an antibiotic itself, which we sell as well in Bilqis stores all around the UAE.
Oh, yeah, they're available in all good stores.
They are, absolutely. Oh, and the thing about it is, it's literally like an antibiotic. It's so strong. You take one of them, two of them. If it's really coming on strong, then take a couple of capsules of them. It's basically a beehive product. It's what the bees process. So they'll go to the bark of the tree. They'll take some of the sap out of there. They'll go and then create and vomit out this amazing stuff that they coat the hive in order to give it this antibacterial protective layer. So none of the bugs and the insects can come and spread their, you know, poop everywhere and cause some infections and problems. So what it is, it's like an antibacterial kind of coating that is amazing. And you take that as a capsule in a strong format, or we've got some liquid, some that's actually been reduced, a proper propolis liquid that you can put as a tincture with a bit of water, and you drink that, and you're kind of on your way. You're getting better. I've tried that, honestly, it's really good.
I think you're onto something. And if the world of honey isn't for you, then what about branding as well? Because I think bee vomit is a perfect way
The thing is, honey is actually bee vomit. It is the bees regurgitate. So when they go and they take their lovely long little kind of tongues, they stick it in the kind of the flower and suck out all that nectar. That then swirls around and it sits on their stomach as they're flying around. They go back to the hive. They go in this beautiful kind of like honeycomb structure and they literally vomit out. Chuck it up, because it's all being processed, everything around their stomach. Once that magic is in their stomach, and then what they do is that they vomit it out, and that process of vomiting is the actual honey. And all they do after that is they flap their amazing wings, flap, 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 to make it kind of like stronger, so to take out the liquid from the honey. So that's a little bit of edumacation on honey.
the education from the honey man, quite right too. Another story from you. Cottage cheese.
Well, I like cottage cheese.
What is it with you and cottage cheese? You're a fan of cottage cheese.
Well, I'm a fan.
Is this your next venture,
well, I'm a fan of it even more because you know that this whole Dubai challenge is going on.
Oh, yeah.
And for 30 days and all of that. It's amazing, which I agree with, but I'm doing the alternative version. Now, the alternative version is basically proven that cottage cheese can actually, it can burn calories while you sleep. So, this is according to the Florida University research, guys, that eating high-protein snacks can speed up your metabolism. So what it is that if you take 30 grams of protein 30 minutes before you sleep, which I'm going to do that for 30 days, I'm assuming that I'm going to lose quite a lot of weight because I'm a big, bulky guy, you know? So that is my alternative kind of fitness Dubai challenge, that I'm going to be doing that for 30 days. And they've proven that you actually lose weight with these high protein snacks that you kind of consume at night 30 minutes before you sleep.
So this is where I get really confused. Really, you know how we were saying just before the news about you get one piece of research and then you don't know, and then you get another piece of research, you don't know what to believe. So I've been told for a long time that you shouldn't be eating before you go to bed. That's a surefire way for a bad night's sleep. But apparently I could throw that out the window now, yeah?
Well, you can, because we've got some lovely lady here from the, she's a professor, associate professor of nutrition, food and exercise sciences. Yeah, and they're telling us basically that with their supplemental data and protein, that it absolutely helps you lose weight because it speeds up your metabolism at night.
What about if I have a bowl of Cocoa Pops? Is that all right?
Well, there's a little bit more sugar in there. But maybe if you just kind of mashed it all up with some cottage cheese and a little bit of yogurt, throw it in there and make it all a bit more protein, then I think it should be all right. What do you think, Joe?
It's only 30 grams. That's a spoonful of cottage cheese.
Oh, right, okay.
But I don't think that you should ever go to bed hungry.
No, my mum said to me, never, ever go to bed hungry.
Yeah, you don't sleep and very that's well. Why I'm quite, although I will I'm send
about
my 21 kids to bed
stone. What was that? but it's true, you shouldn't go because you can't sleep. You're too busy thinking about food. If you get to go to sleep.
I can. If I exercise in the evening and then I don't have a slice of toast before I go to bed, I will wake up in the night hungry.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, toast.
Tummy rumbling hungry.
Yeah, it's quite carby, isn't it? Toast. It's quite carby. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's lovely. Especially with a bit of butter. Honey.
But then there is that argument of thought that, you know, you shouldn't be eating after 6 o'clock in the evening anyway. I mean, many people have sort of based their policies on that, haven't they?
Yeah, but I think you need to listen to your body. And if you're feeling a little bit peckish, then you need to eat something.
Listen to your body, Tom. Listen to your body.
I do every day. It's like, ow.
That's what I've been doing. Listen to me body.
And stop when you're full.
Yeah.
A lot of people are texting. Who is it? Who's the golfer who's an inspiration to everyone, does all the sit-ups and the press-ups? Gary Player. South African golfer. And one of his mantras is never eating after 6 p.m. in the evening. And that whole thing goes back to that thing about what do you do? Breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, dinner like a pauper. So he wouldn't be eating before bed then?
Well, he must go to bed about 6:30 then, I'll tell you, because there's no way he's going to carry on rumbling gone until about midnight without eating anything, without feeling those kind of, you know, hunger pangs that are going to be keeping people awake.
Well, that's the point, isn't it? I mean, if you're going to bed at 8 o'clock, great. And he's probably one of those ones that gets up at 3:30 to do 400 press-ups as well or something. So
yeah, probably.
Each their own. got a question that's just come through. I know I keep harking back to honey, but with good reason. We've got the Honey Monster here in the studio with us. People are texting in about that thing you just said, with the honey going into water.
Yeah.
That as being an elixir for bad health, or you feel a cold coming on. A lot of people saying, hang on, but I always do it with lemon juice and boiling hot water.
That if it's boiling hot water, it's like, take it as a given guarantee. You are killing all the enzymes that are inside the honey. You render the honey dead. Honey, raw honey is alive. It's full of enzymes. It's swirling around with its beautiful little kind of, you know, minerals and vitamins and stuff. But the minute that you kind of put it in this kind of ridiculously boiling hot temperature, you're killing it. And so all you're going to do is render it similar to what the other honeys are that are on the supermarket shelf, unless it says raw. So it's dead. So you need to kind of like, it needs to be comfortable. You know, the temperatures in the hives, the beehives themselves, can go up to around in the summer around 39 degrees. So you always kind of have a balance that you don't want to go anywhere above what the natural kind of like temperature is in the hive with the honey and the bees.
Question come through from one of our listeners. Can you ask the honey man, can I give propolis to kids under 6?
I've not read any data that says that you can't, but I think you need to do it very, very dilute forms and just try it out. Because sometimes people do have allergies. Some people have allergies to pollen. Some people have allergies to propolis. So I think sometimes even just to test propolis, that you can take a little, if it's a tincture, if it's just like a liquid, then you can take a little bit of liquid on your finger and just rub it on their skin and rub it on your skin. And if you leave it for a while, just leave it for a few minutes and see if anything happens. Usually that kind of, if it ends up kind of really itching and it's a rashy and it's all red, then there is some kind of an allergy that you'll get. But if not, it should be fine. But in small doses, just to start off, because in the beginning, sometimes taking on full doses, it can be really strong and you can feel a little bit kind of edgy. So it's better to build it up. I can take quite a lot of it because I take quite a lot of it generally, and my system's kind of, you know, become at one with it. And it's orientated.
Another question that's come through saying, please, can you ask the honey hombre? I quite like that one.
Yeah,
you can have that one.
I like that one, yeah.
The honey hombre.
God, let me get my domain name sorted out.
Can you please ask the honey hombre if I can keep my honey in the fridge?
The thing is some people do that. But it's not the natural state again. It's not the natural kind of ecosystem of honey and bees and how they live. It's natural for it to be in environments where it's around room temperature and just above that, going up to it all the way to around 30 degrees. It's not. It's fine. But when you're taking it kind of, you know, taking it to chilling mode, it's not going to destroy it. But it's you're not going to get the honey in its natural state as it's meant to be.
So go off.
Some honey can ferment, and it can kind of create problems if it's fermented and it kind of starts to bubble up and gases are produced and acids. That can mess up, but it's a preservative. Honey can last for centuries. That's what they used to do. They used to mummify, you know, pharaohs with honey. It used to be a part of the whole process. They've even found in some of the tombs that it's lasted for over 2,000 years, some honey, which is still kind of like edible. So it's a natural preservative. It's an unbelievable kind of superfood.
We're talking a variety of subjects today. We've just been talking about cottage cheese. Everyone get some cottage cheese into you. How much was it? 30 grams.
30 grams, 30 minutes before you sleep, and do it for 30 days if you want to do the Dubai challenge.
And we've also got, I'm going to stick with the food if we can now, because you found another piece from the BBC, from the BBC's Tristan Quinn. Perfect name, that one. The food supplement that ruined my liver. What is it?
It's green tea. Can you believe it?
No, it's not.
Green tea capsules.
The capsules.
Yeah, the capsules, because they're so kind of concentrated. And this guy was basically taking them, you know, because he's in his 50s. He just wants to kind of get a bit more healthier and get his life back together again and whatever. So he was taking them for quite a while. And then his wife's saying, like, your eyes are going a bit yellow and your skin's going a bit yellow and you're looking yellow and everything like that. And then he started feeling fatigued and whatever. So they're going to do all these tests on him, tests after tests and whatever. And they couldn't find what it was that was kind of causing his liver to deteriorate. And so the doctor said to him, are you taking any supplements? He said, yeah, that I've been taking for a while. And it's green tea capsules. And it's that level of concentration that affects some people. It doesn't affect everybody, but it affects certain people. And he's had to have a transplant. It's kind of shocking.
It's shocking, but I think it shines a light on a wider problem here, which is this. You know, I was asking earlier about that elixir. What is that little special ingredient? What is the answer to a perfect night's sleep? And so many of us get that now in capsule form, don't we? And we try and get healthy. So we try and lose weight by taking capsules. Yep. We try and get fit by taking capsules.
Always the easy way.
And as you say, that is a concentration of whatever. This is green tea, but there's a concentration of cod liver, a concentration of this, whatever. And that sort of flies in the face of that whole answer or that whole question of moderation, which surely is the way we should all be progressing.
Absolutely. That is the truth of it. It's really difficult to think, unfortunately, in this kind of fast-paced world that we're living in and with all this technology and everything else, people just want a solution, a quick thing for everything, a quick fix. And I think the reality is there's no real quick fix for anything.
Yeah.
It's just if you want to lose weight, you've got to really put the hours in the gym. You know, you've got to change your lifestyle. You've got to eat good. You've got to stop eating processed food. If you want to start looking healthy and younger, whatever, then you need to do certain exercises and, you know, do all the kind of amazing meditations and all the things that really take a while before it kind of kicks in. And I think that's where we are. You know, it's we need to kind of concentrate and focus on the long term, you know, things that we want to change as in our lives rather than just the quick fix.
Joe Mark, are you a pill popper?
No.
I mean, in the
green tea capsule
in the halal form. Kind of way.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, I do sometimes take glucosamine for my joints, but that's it. No, I eat broccoli. I drink green tea occasionally.
Yeah, but I like vitamin C and I like green tea. But sometimes I'll take kind of vitamin C supplements.
A Barocca.
No, wow. I don't take them. And those ones that the effervescent ones, because they use these aspartames and these kind of fake, kind of sugars that have got these sometimes so-called through investigations harmful, you know, properties. You know, So you got to be careful. If you know, and at the same time, I don't want to be doing loads of oranges to get me vitamin C, but there are kind of these little berries that you can get from like South America, that you know, camu, which apparently is really good. That's got, you know, a little teaspoon is 10 times more powerful than 10 oranges. You know what I mean? Things like that you can investigate, that you can add to support your smoothies and things like that.
We're talking about sort of supplements here on the show, foods one should eat, foods one shouldn't eat as well. We're in conversation with Red. He's in studio with us as well. Where on that list do slugs appear, Riyad?
Okay, so you know I'm being a honey hombre. I'm not really kind of like the kind of nutrient guru or anything like that.
Don't get
me wrong. But I was reading in 24/7 Emirates 24/7. It's really an unfortunate story. Actually, it really caught my eye.
Yeah.
Because he's a young kid, is this kid 19 years old, he decided to kind of do this spur of the moment challenge that his friends were pushing him. This is a few years ago. And 19 years old, quite a popular rugby player in Australia. And he literally, he ate this slug and he got this rat lungworm. Sort of disease or whatever it is. He fell into a coma for 420 days. I mean, imagine that. He went into a coma for 420 days. His brain stopped working. He kind of became paralyzed. And then he died eventually. And all because of this kind of, you know, kind of challenge, eating these kind of slugs or whatever. It's dangerous. It's a dangerous thing. Sometimes you don't know, you know, what you're going to get yourself into with these kind of silly challenges. So you've got to be really careful.
So Parts of this story is they say that he was prompted by his mates, and it's all part of this sort of YouTube challenge and pranking malarkey that's going on at the moment. So you've got to do really silly things to get as many followers as possible. But I mean, that has been encouraged, and we're seeing more and more of that now because it enables people to get these likes and these followers, etc. Mm. But it's also just youth, isn't it? I mean, doing silly things. We all made mistakes as kids doing silly things.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, when you're young and you've got all your friends around you and they're all kind of egging you on and whatever, it's the last thing that you'd ever imagine that if you, this kind of, even if you ate a cockroach or whatever insect it is, or a slug, that something as catastrophic that would happen like that, you just don't even think. Mm. Or imagine anything that would happen like that. But you just got to be careful. We're in, weird times where, you know, there's anything could happen. And especially when you've got these, little whatever they are, insects, rodents, whatever they are, you know, you're kind of eating something that really you shouldn't be eating just because you're egged on by mates. You've got to step back and pull yourself and out of the situation. Think, you know, is it really right? Is it going to harm me? And get on with your life.
Riyad, I've got one more for you. Obviously, you are a fixture here in the UAE, fixture here in the region, but you're also proud of your roots back home in the UK. Sheffield lad, yeah?
Absolutely. Yeah. South Yorkshire, here we go. Woom, woom, woom.
So give me a little insight of them weirdos over the border in Lancashire as well, because we've got a story here that you've brought to the fore of a family in Lancashire who've frequented the Royal Lancaster Infirmary quite a few times. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm talking about the Radfords.
Yes. Oh my God. So this is a family that where she's basically given birth to 21 kids. Bless her heart. I mean, I for the life.
Is there not much to do in Lancashire?
Well, evidently not. You know what I mean? When you're popping out 21 kids. It's you think to yourself, what's going on? I think she's amazing. This woman needs a medal. She's amazing. 21.
She's 43.
She's 43.
Oh, I know, but the thing about that's like not that old. Come on, 43.
Whoa.
Come on.
21 pregnancies. Do the math. 21 times.
I mean, that's like one every 9 months, isn't it?
I tell you, it pays off.
Funny enough.
Her labour was 12 minutes.
Isn't that
so
amazing?
So there are some advantages.
Any woman would say that is amazing.
Yeah.
To have labour, like 12 minutes of labour is like phenomenal. I mean, you know, I kind of grew up with nine brothers and sisters all around us, and it's kind of pretty noisy. Now, to have 21, wow. That's, you know, wow, 21 kids. They must have got some kind of Arab genetic roots in there somewhere.
Well, Dad Noel said, I don't think anyone sets out thinking that they'll have 21 children. We thought we'd have three. Some people decide to stop after two or three kids. We've made it to 21.
And I think that there's somewhere in there that they keep saying, you know, well, without saying, no, we're not having any more. We're not having any more. We're not. And they just keep coming. They keep coming. You know, they keep rocking and rolling, don't they?
She's been pregnant for 811 weeks.
They run a bakery.
She doesn't know anything different, love. You know what? She doesn't know anything different. She's so used to that state of pregnancy that without it, she feels a bit empty. I would feel empty if there's something inside of me all the time. And all of a sudden it pops out and I'd be looking for it. I need to compensate.
Or just eat some bread from your bakery and then you'll be fine. Then you can fill the gap.
But it's
a baker, so he's up at all hours as well in the morning.
Yeah, when's he got time?
When every time, it's ridiculous.
Well, the kids probably work in the bakery. It's fine. It's a very good family.
So
business.
The eldest is going to be what? If she's had 21, the eldest is going to be in their 20s now for sure, aren't they?
Yeah, they're in the 20s.
So I suppose you've got like a babysitter on hand at all times.
You've got a 20-year-old, a 19-year-old.
On tap, you've got a babysitter on tap.
17-year-old, 16-year-old, 15-year-old,
14-year-old. Not, I'm sure she gets out much, that's for sure.
I mean, how can you when you're strapped and saddled with all them kids running
around?
She's
from Morecambe.
Oh, that explains everything, that. Come on. Oh, Tom, you should have told me that from the beginning. You know, my God, that explains it.
From Morecambe. Look, we really need to wrap things up because you're busy, busy, busy. You've got lots going on. We've got questions aplenty that are coming through for you, though. Hi, Honeyman, says Imtiaz out there. I have a beehive in my garden since May of this year. How can I get the honey out of it? I've never done it before. Any suggestions?
Yeah, so if you're kind of an amateur beekeeper, you should have got some of the equipment. You can't just kind of go in there with a hammer and nails and with a knife. It'd be good if you had one of those little sort of metal centrifuges that you can just take the from the hive, take the honeycomb, pour it in. And then if it's electric, then that's all well. You can just press a button and it kind of comes out. But if you're going to do it sort of manual, it's going to be difficult. But or just enjoy it as a honeycomb. You can have a really good sort of honey, enjoy your honey like that.
There is the beekeepersassociation.ae, who are a vibrant beekeepers community here in the UAE.
It's buzzing.
Yeah. Go there. It's buzzing. They will help you.
Awful. Isn't
it's
it?
Buzzing.
Terrible.
It's a dad joke. It's awful. Buzzing. Really bad. I'm here all day. You can have that one.
Thanks. I'll keep it.
If people want to find out more about all of your beautiful products, Riyad, what's the best way for them to do? Where are you these days?
Where you can go on bilqis.com, www.bilqis.com, and our Bilqis honey kiosks are all of the Emirates in the malls and stuff, or try some of the raw amazing honey at Carrefour. We've got beautiful counters, you know, in this sort of deli delicatessens over there, some beautiful raw honey. So
And in terms of obviously people continuing that journey, what about your journey as well? Because obviously you've well established here in the region and further afield. Are you looking for other opportunities, looking to source materials from other parts of the world?
Absolutely. I'm kind of on a sort of mission to go around the world and try and get our customers the best honey in the world. So I'm planning trips, you know, to South America. I'm planning trips to Southeast Asia. You know, we want to go everywhere. We want to go to sort of Europe and get some of the best honeys there as well. So we're on a mission to get the customers of the UAE some of the best honeys of the world. And that's really what we try and do. And that's what our kind of mission is and our purpose in life.
And long may that continue. Riyad, thanks so much indeed for your time this morning. Really appreciate
it. Thanks a lot, Tom.
Get yourself down to Bilqis, find out about more of it. It's all online. You're on social media, all going on, yeah?
We are, Instagram, absolutely.
What's this about a new avatar? I've shown a new avatar. what's going on there between you and Mrs. Muck over here?
Joe convinced me to basically... to have my fake self, the avatar, which I didn't even know. I thought just Avatar was just a film. The blue people. I didn't know anything about it until Joe edumacated me. And so it was amazing. You take a little clip of your face and it's like it makes a cartoon out of yourself and with these little beautiful kind of like, you know, little kind of gimmicks and sayings and stuff. It's amazing.
And who have you been spamming?
Oh, God. Joe until like 2 o'clock at night. Everybody, you're next, Tom. You're next on my list.
Bring it on. Have you got one of these? I bet you haven't got one of these. Look at the one I've got here. Hey?
You're next.
Riya, bless you. Thanks so much indeed. Thanks really so good much. To see you. Riya Thadman is the founder and the owner of Bilqis Honey, aka The Honey Man, The Honey Monster. It's great to have him in studio as always. And apologies in advance to all our listeners from Morecambe who are texting in their droves at the moment. I think you need to do a runner. You need to do a runner, all right?
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.